Good morning. It's a blessing to greet you here on this beautiful summer Sunday morning here in Michigan. My name is Jeremy Africa, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. On behalf of everyone who's helping to lead worship this morning, whether you are here in the sanctuary or whether you're joining us online through the live stream, we're glad to have this opportunity to worship together, and we welcome you. As we begin our time in worship, we have several announcements to share with you this morning, opportunities to share in the church's life and share in the church's mission of helping people to know, love, and share Jesus Christ. And to that very point of sharing Jesus Christ, I invite Pat McElvenna to come forward, who serves as our member of our missions team, to share about One Week, One Street.
One Week, One Street has been a mission project in the south side of Saginaw since 2013. Their mission is to meet one street for one whole week and do a lot of urban renewal in that area. They clean up yards, they paint houses, repair porches, roofs. Last year, they replaced four roofs on houses for people down there. Volunteers come from all over the community, Methodist churches, all kinds of churches, community groups. They have supporters from Home Depot, from a lot of organizations that are out there. And it's a very successful project, but it takes hands and feet to do that. Our church has been a faithful supporter of that every single year that they have done that, both financially and by sending our workers down there. It is not too late. The week starts tomorrow. So Monday through Friday of this week, we'll be going down. We are carpooling for those that want to do that. We are being provided a t-shirt, so everybody gets a t-shirt, and a water bottle you will get as well. And meals at lunchtime are provided for everybody during the week. It is a great week. This year, we are partnered with Dean Simpson Jr. He is the homeowner of the house that we'll be working on. So the best part of it for me, some of it's working on the homes and doing a good service down there. The best part of it is the people down there, because they are so nice and everybody's willing to help. Not just waiting for someone to come and help me because I live down there, but waiting, all the neighbors come in and help me as well. So all the people participate. They are so good to each other, and it's so good to be able to work with them. They are our neighbors, so let's give them a hand this week. It's not too late. For those who have already signed up, we're going to be meeting right here where I'm standing for just a few minutes after worship today, so please come here if you've signed up. If you are still interested, please come. It's not too late. One more time, not too late. Please come.
So, Pat, what I'm hearing is it's not too late. Still an opportunity to sign up. If you are free this week or if you feel pulled towards that mission, I invite you to see Pat regarding One Week, One Street. Next, I'm going to hand things off to Gabrielle Cook McElvenna, who serves as our Director of Music Ministries, for a note about worship next Sunday.
Ooh, I had a question. What am I announcing today? There it is.
There we go.
We are really proud to present our second season of the Next Generation Music Concert Series. For those of you who do not know, this series was created in order to support the next generation of musicians, sacred and otherwise, composers, performers, educators, as they enter into a career field, doing this as a ministry or a job. I was going to say a well-paying job, but I know that not to be true after 20 years of doing this. So our next concert, we are featuring the Second Act Opera Company out of Grand Rapids. They are a really great group of folks. They will be here presenting opera favorites. And then in August, on the second Sunday, we will be hosting Brenda Portman. She is an accomplished and published organist who will be doing a concert of her own works. These concerts are free. These concerts are the second Sunday of June, July, and August at 7 p.m. right here in this sanctuary. Please invite your neighbors and friends. If you know an educator who needs to get professional development credits, sometimes these type of events can count towards that. So we look forward to seeing you here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gabrielle. With this, there is a lot more in the e-blast that is sent out by the office. And so I encourage you to take a look at that this week. If you aren't yet receiving those and would like to be on the distribution list, please simply contact the office and we'll be happy to send you these weekly emails. With all of this, my friend Silas will gather us back together with ringing the bell after a brief time of greeting one another. So I invite you to stand and greet one another and remain standing for our call to worship, please.
Fear the Lord. Praise Him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify Him. Stand in awe of Him, all you offspring of Israel.
Do not hide His face from me.
The Lord shall eat and be the poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek Him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations shall worship the Lord.
Brothers and sisters, I invite you to remain standing as we join in our opening song. And if you really enjoy singing as a group, I invite you to our hymn sing next Sunday, because this is the announcement I was supposed to make. I invite you to the hymn sing next Sunday, 15 minutes before worship, 9:45, where you get to choose what we are singing. But before then, we are going to join in our first hymn, He is Exalted.
Please be seated. At this time, I'm going to invite forward Andrew and Sydney, their daughter Adelie, along with Melissa and Brenda, who are Adelie's grandmothers, for the sacrament of baptism. I invite you to turn to page 33 in the hymnal or to follow along with your responses on the screen behind me. As we prepare ourselves for this sacred moment in Adelie's life, I remind us that, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's through the sacrament of baptism that we are initiated into Christ's holy church, that we are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and we are given new birth through water and the Holy Spirit. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price. And so to the church today, I present Adelie Grace Baker for baptism. And Sydney and Andrew, I'm going to ask you to once again profess your faith as we prepare for Adelie's baptism. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness? Do you reject the evil powers of this world and repent of your sin? If so, please respond, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, please respond, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, please respond, I do. And will you nurture your child Adelie in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If you will, please respond, I will. And now to the church, to you as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ. If so, please respond, we do. You are so anxious to do so. What a wonderful response. And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include Adelie now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround Adelie with a community of love and forgiveness, grow in her service to others. We will pray for her that she may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Let us pray. Eternal God, as you swept over the waters to bring order from chaos, as your grace was poured upon this earth, and as we experience your grace with the parting of the Red Sea, we pray your Holy Spirit to come upon these waters. We indeed pray, O Lord, that through this sacrament, in this sacred moment, you might come into Adelie's life in a special way, that she may be incorporated into your grace and be a source of this love for others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before Adelie's baptism, I feel it'd be selfish if I didn't share so, that this is a bit of a full circle moment, if you will. Yes, this is our second baptism in 2 weeks. And if you might remember Eliza's baptism, who is with us this morning, you might remember that you promised to surround those who are baptized with a community of love and forgiveness. And this is a wonderful picture for me of what this looks like, because I know this is true for Sydney. I knew her as a youth growing up here in the church. And I know the church surrounded you with a community of love and forgiveness, as your family did, and as Melissa did for so many other families nurturing children here in the church. And so, friends, this is what it looks like when the church surrounds people and families with a community of love and forgiveness. I know this is Andrew and Sydney's desire for Adelie. And so we share in this moment of baptism. So, Sydney, can I ask you to remove her hat there? There we go. Thank you. What name have you given your child?
Adelie Grace Baker.
Adelie, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born through water and the Spirit, you too might be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Whoa. If you'll face the congregation. Friends, now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ into the church. Through baptism, we are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome you as members of the family of Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Adelie to your love and to your care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, to confirm her hope, and to perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Andrew and Sydney, we hope that you'll help Adelie remember her baptism, to remember how her grandmother stood with her, how she was surrounded by her family and the church. And so we have a blanket with Adelie's name and also a certificate.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Can we welcome Adelie into Christ's Holy Church?
Two weeks in a row of watching a baby be baptized. That's a pretty special honor for us to observe, huh? I'm so glad that we were here for that, both weeks, for baby Eliza and baby Adelie. Well, today is kind of a new start in Sunday school, guys. Today we're going to start a brand new time called our Summer of Psalms. And so here's the thing. A psalm is a poem that was written long, long ago, and the psalms were written for praising God, praying to God, and the psalms were meant to be sung. So people would write these psalms, or David would write a psalm, or maybe a couple of other people that we know about, and then they would take these poems to, I'm going to have you stand right here, honey. They would take They would take these poems to the temple, and the person who was in charge of the singing would turn those poems into songs. So it was kind of a big deal. And I bet this summer we'll learn some psalms that maybe you've heard sung before on the radio or even in church. So we're going to start a whole new series in Sunday school, friends. We're going to be in the Old Testament, and we're going to go through a whole book called Psalms. So today we're going to think about this psalm. It's Psalm 139, verse 14, and I bet a lot of people at church are familiar with it. It goes, I will praise God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Each one of you are fearfully and wonderfully made. All right, so let's say a prayer together, and then we're going to head to church. We're already in church. We're going to head to Sunday school. All right, can you put your head down, and we'll say a little prayer together? Dear God, you made every single one of us here in your very own image. That means because you are good, we are good. God, because you are loving, we are loving. Because you forgive, we are made to forgive. Thank you, God, for this gift that changes our lives, to know that we are yours and that each one of us is so wonderfully and perfectly made. Amen.
Thank you. As we continue in worship, we take time to share in the giving of our tithes and offerings of God. As we do so, I invite you to let us know of your presence with us this morning. You can do so by signing in the red friendship pads that you'll find in the pews with you. If you are a guest with us this morning, we invite you to sit back and to reflect on God's presence in your life and the blessings that God brings to you. And to the members and friends of this church, we thank you for your ongoing support of God's work together here in our church and in our community. Let us delight in giving back to God. With the ushers, please come forward. Gracious God, as we wade in the waters of our baptism, some as recent as moments ago, for many of us long ago, give us a picture of who we are as your church, that we might continue the work of sharing your love and grace. Bless these offerings, O Lord, and may they go towards this very work. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. I'm reading the New Living Translation. Before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Christ came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. For you are all children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Marriage is a lot of work. In case I had not fully grasped what she meant the first time she said it, my mother regularly repeated this refrain throughout the year I was engaged to Cara, my wife of now 22 years. Indeed, there were times that I was outright insulted by the regularity with which my mother would repeat this refrain. After all, I was raised and taught well, and was confident I would make the perfect husband. And I was confident that I had picked out the perfect bride. Nonetheless, she was unrelenting and undaunted in sharing with me her wisdom on marriage for that entire year. It turns out Mama was right. Marriage is a lot of work. Recently, while reflecting a bit nostalgically on our marriage, I shared with Cara my observation that our marriage had seemed easier the last few years. She smiled and, in her very gracious way, remarked that this had not been the case for her. I wish I was making that part up, but I'm not. The fact of the matter is, two becoming one takes a great deal of work and even more commitment. I believe this is true for every marriage. And I'm convinced Paul would argue the same is true for the church. Whether in Galatia or for us here today. In a letter very likely to have been circulated to several churches in the region, Paul was writing to a divided church. For the churches back then, one of the main points of contention had to do with what God required of Gentile believers. Specifically, a group within the church were advocating that it be required for male non-Jewish believers to be circumcised. After all, as we read in Genesis, this is what God's law required as a way of setting God's people apart from all others. And yet, at the time, there were also those in the church, including Paul, who argued otherwise. Paul's contention being God's law, as was delivered by Moses, had its purpose. The purpose of this law was to form and to protect God's people up and until Jesus' arrival, after which we are made right with God, not by our works, not by our impossible adherence to God's law, but more so by faith in Christ, who was sent to save us. Indeed, as we witness yet again this morning with the baptism of Andrew and Sydney's daughter, Adelie, we in the church are made one with Christ and one with one another, not by being perfect on our own accord, but by God's grace and the common waters of our baptism. For it's through our common or shared baptism that each of us is clothed in Christ, that each of us identifies more with being one with each other and one with Christ than we do with any other aspect of our lives. As beautiful as this sounds and as wonderful as this is biblically and theologically, or in our understanding of who God is and how we relate to God and how we relate to one another, much like marriage, this, what we're talking about here, is a lot of work. Being the church back then in Paul's day and today requires our best. It requires making a real commitment to Christ and to one another. It requires a whole lot of grace. It requires a whole lot of trust. Indeed, at times, being the church requires us to set aside ourselves, to set aside our positions or our understandings for the greater good of being the church and for the greater cause of Christ. I imagine that this was no easier a message to deliver in Paul's time than it is for us today. Back then, Paul put it this way: as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ, there is no longer Jew or Greek, There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Now let's be clear that Paul's intention here is not to ignore the differences and divisions within the church. Remarkably so, Paul names some of the most difficult and divisive ones in his days out loud. Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female. We might easily imagine if those in the church back then had a list of hot topics and issues not to bring up around their proverbial Thanksgiving dinner table, that this would make that list. For they touched on nationality. And they touched on whether one was affluent or not. And Paul was touching upon gender roles. And in naming these, it's not as if Paul is offering up some utopian-like answer wherein the common waters of our baptism washes away everything that makes a difference between us or that might cause a divide. For Paul, these differences and the tensions between them exist and were very real. Instead, the tenor of what I hear Paul saying here is this. Through the common waters of our baptism, in our faith in Jesus Christ, what I hear Paul saying is that God is doing something new. And not only is God doing something new, God is using the coming together of differences and divisions to reveal His greatness. Indeed, the greatness of God's grace in our becoming one in Him with our differences and all. Believe it or not, very much so speaking for myself, we are quickly coming upon it being a full year since the start of my time, since the start of our time together as a congregation and pastor. Boy, how a year goes by fast. In many ways, returning to Midland First has exceeded my expectations. You have welcomed my family and me with open arms. And our church's staff and leaders have invested in the hard work of getting to know me, of being open with me, and inviting me to serve in the capacity to which I've been appointed. My family and I are certainly enjoying getting reacquainted with a community Carr and I embraced earlier on in our marriage and ministry. And it's been a true joy to renew previous connections and to form others that are altogether new. With all this, it would be more nostalgia than anything else for me to say that all of this has been easy. Much like Paul and the early churches in Galatia, I believe that being the church today, including ourselves as Midland First United Methodist Church, I believe being the church is a lot of work. And it's hard work at times. and it requires nothing short of our collective best. It would be disingenuous for me to suggest otherwise. As grateful as I am for the road we've traveled and the road ahead, there's still plenty of challenges. Some of these are specific to us, yes, here as a church. Others are more general and echoed in most of the churches that I hear about today. Talking with my parents and their involvement in the church. Talking to other pastors, whether they're retired or actively serving the church today. Like the churches in Galatia, churches today have their own differences and divisions to navigate. Here in the United Methodist Church, with nearly 17% of our churches in the Michigan Conference, or United Methodist Churches here in Michigan, having disaffiliated or left the denomination over matters of inclusivity, it would be negligent on my part to suggest otherwise. That there goes a lot into being the church today. No less in today's landscape, wherein any mention of politics or today's current events can be dangerous waters to wade or no less venture into. And yet I'm hopeful. I am hopeful. Because every once in a while, whether I'm at a Next Generation concert where we are listening to budding musicians spread their wings, whether I'm at an evening of vacation Bible school and having to muster up everything that's left in the gas tank at the end of a day to keep up. Or whether I stop by Sunday Friendship Lunch and how I see our neighbors and friends, whether we know them or not, being greeted with the love of Jesus Christ. Whether it's a church night out on an unusually cold Friday night in June at Dow Diamond, hoping that a fall ball will somehow magically land once again close to us. Or even if I'm helping to repair a fence at the parsonage with church members, I catch a glimpse of who we are as the church, and what we still might become. I see in us, and I see in the church today, even if just for a passing moment, Paul's words, as paraphrased by Eugene Peterson and a bit modified by me, this is what I see when we are at our best. That in Christ's family, there can be no division into traditional and progressive, into poor and rich, Republican and Democrat. Among us, we are all equal. That is, we are all in common relationship with Jesus Christ. And in seeing this, I dream of the new thing God is already doing. May it be so. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we walk alongside Adelie and her parents, her family and friends, and the church, we bring our very toes to the water's edge. And we're reminded of what we share in common as the church. And God, in walking along the side of the church for so long, you know that this work is not always easy. And it is not always the way that we envision it. But through your grace, we're reminded of how beautiful it can be. Whether we see in the New Testament church, believers and non-believers coming together, whether it be slave or free, male and female, or whether it be in our church today. In a world, O Lord, where differences and divisions seem sharper than ever before and ready to tear the fabric apart of our community, of our nation, or of the world. Remind us of the hope that we have in you. Remind us of the calling that you have placed upon us and your church to be a beacon of your hope. To be an example of your grace and to show others the way. So help us do this work in our church. Help us to do this work with other churches in our community. Help us to do this with brothers and sisters halfway around the world. Indeed, O God, as we do this one street at a time this coming week, help us not only to do this work, but to also see it being done. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we close our time in worship, I invite you to stand as you are able and to join us in our closing song, Stand By Me. Be on page 512 of the hymnal or on the screen before you. Today we will sing verses 1, 2, and 5. Verses 1, 2, and 5. So I can already imagine, let's say 10, 15 years from now, Andrew will come home and tell Cara and I that he's found the one. And I'm going to repeat those words of wisdom. You know, son, marriage is a lot of work, even if you're as perfect as your daddy. But I'm going to add to that it can also be beautiful. And being the church is a lot of work, but it can also be beautiful. May we see that beauty in the church today. Amen? Amen. Amen.